from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
How different was the pass protection from last year, Ross? How good a change was the protection change that was made with the new offense?
Yeah, so two things there. I can't emphasize enough how good Mekhi Becton looked at right guard. Like, John, he's better at right guard in his first game than I ever was in my whole life. It's unbelievable just watching some of the things.
Well, I don't know if that's – I'm not saying that much, Ross. I mean, if you said he was better than – give me a great guard.
Brandon Brooks.
Brandon Brooks was a great guard.
Okay. Joe, I was just trying to tee you up, Joe. I was trying to tee you up for some self-deprecation there.
Yeah, well done.
In all sincerity, I feel so good. As long as Becton can stay healthy, I feel so good about their offensive line and what they're going to be able to do this year. I mean, he looked better, I thought, at right guard than Juergens did last year. And Juergens got hurt twice. So if those guys can stay healthy, they'll be fantastic. And they ate up the blitz. I mean, they totally ate it up. They had a plan for it. He knew where to go with the ball. That would be the really encouraging aspect of Hurts and Kellen Moore and the protection is we all know, we all read the quotes that the book is out, you just blitz them, that's the deal. Mm-hmm. Well, the Packers tried that, mm-hmm. and the Eagles kind of ate it up. And so more teams are going to try it. I think the Falcons will probably try it Monday night because you got to keep proving it. But if you keep destroying the blitz when people bring it, then they're going to be very, very – if you bring a blitz, look at all the guys you have to cover one-on-one. A.J. Brown, yeah. Devontae Smith, Goddard, even Saquon on, like, he could be a hot route or a quick check down. I mean, good luck. And that's the other thing. I'm sure, Joe, you're going to get into it. That guy looked like Penn State Saquon.
Yep.
That guy, like, found the fountain of youth. I mean, that was so exciting to see the burst he has. I'm not sure, and anytime I say stuff like this, it sounds like hyperbole, but the guy weighs over 230, okay? I'm not sure. I'm trying to think in my head, other NFL players that weigh more than 230 that look like they have rocket boosters coming out of their butt.
Well, it's like LeBron. How can you be that big and that fast? Like that, you know, there are some guys that just defy the normal rules of, you know, living.
And those angles. I mean, really, like in-game, it actually affects in-game when guys are taking angles for the 235-pound guy who belies physics. Like, he's just so much faster than everyone else who's 235 pounds. You take the wrong angle, and you miss the play because he's just such a freak.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, I was totally... obviously, beyond encouraged by Saquon. I mean, I had wondered what he would have coming in. I thought he'd be good, but I wondered, you know, based on the injuries and the age, whether he would be diminished. And certainly one game in, he doesn't look at all. Russ, to what extent, though, do you think they won't lean on him that much moving forward? Let me frame it this way. I remember Chip Kelly's first game with the Eagles. So you have totally prime LeSean, totally prime. 2013 LeSean, it's Chip's first game. He's coming from college. You know they're going to run it a lot. And LeSean had 31 carries week one versus Washington. And I remember thinking at the time, that's an awful lot. I mean, it's probably the most any Eagles running back has had in the last 15 or 20 years, I would think. And LeSean Ross never had that many carries again under Chip Kelly. Do you think the Eagles can sustain that number with Saquon getting 26 touches and 24 carries?
I don't think so, and I don't think they will. I think that was a game that they had to have. And he was playing really, really well. I think as much as they can, and some of it is dictated by, you know, score and opponent and those things, I do think they will try to mix in Gainwell, who did some positive things, by the way, and Shipley a little bit more. you know, the Eagles have a really good sports science aspect of the organization. They realize how long of a season it is. This obviously looks like a playoff team. The goal, and yes, seeding is important, and they want to have the best record possible, but the Eagles' best – the reason why they don't play the guys in the preseason, or most of them, is because they think their best chance to win the opening game is if they have as many guys healthy as possible. The reason why I think they will be very judicious with Saquon's usage is because I think they know they got a really good chance to be in the playoffs, and they know their best chance to get to Super Bowl and win it is if number 26 is flying around all around the field and not dinged up and not banged up. So I think they'll pick their spots. It'll depend on the game. I think there'll be other games where he gets that many touches, but I also think there'll be some games where he gets like 14 touches.
Yeah. I agree with that. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio, day after the Phils win. They've been on a pretty solid roll lately. Obviously lost Saturday and Sunday, but for the most part, really good baseball for the last 2.5 weeks. And the Eagles 1-0 out of the gate, getting ready for another game Monday. Speaking of that game Monday, you on Friday can win tickets to the game right here at 8 o'clock on the WIP Morning Show. But you got to know the name we said yesterday at 8 o'clock. You got to know the name we're going to say right now as we give you another chance to know a name that can win you the tickets.
And the name is...
Darren Sproles. Every single time we lead into an Eagles home game, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, those 4 days. And by the way, this means home games not in, like, you know, Brazil. Home games. We give away tickets courtesy of NovaCare on the Friday leading into the game. A name on Tuesday. We gave you one yesterday. Darren Sproles right now, a different name on Thursday, a fourth name on Friday. Friday at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Friday when we give you the cue to call. Be the first person to say the four names, and you can win and will win if you're the first person. The Eagles tickets for the game versus Atlanta, courtesy of NovaCare. All right, Ross, let's get some calls in here. We got a lot of questions for you and a ton of topics. Let's go to Richie right now. He's calling from Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Richie.
Joe, I'm so glad to have gotten on with Ross because that's my overall point of this phone call. I don't have anything to add on the Eagles and Phillies, but as an avid listener of the show who doesn't miss a minute, and most of it is on the app, I called you last year when you released your football lineup for the season. And, I mean, it was amazing, guest after guest. And this year, I don't know how you did it, but you topped yourselves. And just with the addition, I mean, Ross is amazing, obviously, but to add BG, Kelsey, in studio, taking calls, and then pull Ray Diddy out of retirement. As a listener, I just wanted to thank you guys.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Star-studded, and I mean, I couldn't ask for more. Seriously, thank you guys.
No, it's our pleasure. And Richie, for those that don't know, yeah, so Jason Kelsey debuted with us last week. He'll be with us again tomorrow. It'll be Thursdays from, doing this off the top of my head,
7:30 to 8:30.
Yep, 7:30 to 8:30, and typically in studio, which is really, really something.
Yeah, listen, I'll be honest. I called James and I said, isn't this a lot of guests? I mean, worried about breaking up the flow of the show. And James is like, no, not when they're in studio taking calls and adding. And I was like, you know what? That's a great point. And when you just look at the lineup, it looks like a lot. But I know you guys, you'll make it work. And for football content and
thanks,
right October coming, couldn't ask for more. And
as far as my... Yeah, give me something ridiculous. Someone famous, ridiculous. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, Joe DeCamera getting caught with that cantaloupe.
Come on, man.
I was waiting for that.
Oh,
there are several Joe DeCamera answers that we could go with today. So.
Does he know something we don't?
Let me just say this. In the words of Shaggy, what did he say, John?
It wasn't me.
What did he say? Ross, what did Shaggy say?
It wasn't me.
Correct. It was not I with that cantaloupe. All right, I just want to be clear.
Who was it?
It was my roommate.
Mm. Right. Let me get this roommate on the show.
What's your roommate's name?
I don't normally give names.
Oh.
I will give you this one. His name is Rich.
And just
I
so you could have a name.
And I haven't talked to him in 24 years or something.
Really?
Poor Rich.
Yeah. That'd be
sold
the
out
reunion.
On
yeah. So, yeah, I'll call him up. Hey, man, that cantaloupe story.
So you have no idea where Rich is now?
I do know he was in Connecticut as of a few months ago. I don't know quite the latest. All right, Ross, the Cowboys. So, you know, Deshaun Watson stinks. But are the Cowboys, are they again going to be a 12-win type team and the stakes are high for the Eagles to need to win a lot of games in order to win the division? Because, you know, my hope, Ross, was even if the Eagles slid to 10 wins. You know, maybe Dallas isn't 10. They're less, and you still win the division. But I thought that was pretty impressive by Dallas the other day.
It was very impressive. I mean, they're on the road against a Browns team that is really talented. And I think the thing that jumped out to me the most is obviously Micah Parsons is just ridiculous, and Dak played well, and CeeDee Lamb and all that stuff. But the spots where I thought they had questions, like they have a rookie left tackle who only started 14 games at right tackle at Oklahoma and Tyler Guyton. They have a rookie center, guys, who's never played center before. Cooper Beebe was a guard at Kansas State. They both played well. So, and then the defense, I was skeptical of them bringing back one of my former coaches, Mike Zimmer, and changing things. They lost Dan Quinn, who obviously is in Washington now. The defense looked fantastic. So I guess I'm a little bit concerned from an Eagles perspective in the sense that the positions where I thought they clearly had question marks and would have issues, especially early in the season, those guys look good. I mean, their other DN, Marshawn Neyland, who's a second-round pick from Western Michigan, he looked good. I mean, all of the spots where they have rookies or guys that I thought, oh, man, that's a downgrade, that's a drop-off, those young kids actually played well and it was only their first game. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But they did look like a team, and I don't know if they will, but they did look like a team capable of winning 12 games yet again this year.
Ross, you talk about the judicious usage of our number one back with Saquon. How does that judicious usage factor into our goal line and short yardage plans? Like, I would rather he take the pounding of, gaining 1 yard at the goal line than our quarterback. Do you believe that we can function better by handing it off from under center to Saquon, goal line and short yardage, than the tush push thing? Like, has that gone the way of the dodo? And really, like, you look around the league, it doesn't seem like there are other teams having success.
Well,
with
and also
either.
Kelsey's retirement could change the equation. I mean, that is possible.
Well, so I still think the tush push will be highly successful. You know, they fumbled the one snap. The other one, it looked to me like Hurts might have slipped on yeah. the footing a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say, you know, Juergens is strong as an ox, so it's not a physical thing. But watching them have that issue made me appreciate Kelsey even more. Because what people don't realize, okay, picture you're like as crouched low in your stance as you possibly can be. And you need to fire off as low and hard as possible. But guys, you still need to snap the ball. So you need to make sure that they're going in. I don't know what that scientific physics thing is, but they're going in opposite directions. Your whole body needs to be going forward low and hard, but you still need the ball and your right hand to be going backwards. I'm actually amazed that over the last couple years that Kelsey and Hurts never had any, you know, center snap issue. Remember the preseason when these other guys would try it
yep.
and it was a disaster?
Yep. Yeah,
I mean,
Every time
Kenny Pickett or McKee tried it, they always had center snap issues. So that's something that they don't work very much in practice. Hurts and Juergens need to work that. And if they do, I think they'll be fine. I think tush push will still be successful. And, you know, the thing that's so interesting to me about Saquon, I think this needs to be said. My criticism with Saquon going back to Penn State was always about his vision. I felt like he would take negative yardage runs because he was trying to do too much or trying to hit a big play as opposed to just hitting it up there for 2, 3, 4 yards. Believe it or not, Penn State, and then when he went to the Giants, they had issues in short yardage because that's not that was earlier in his career, not his strength. I do think he's gotten
He's gotten better.
But if you watch the end zone copy of the game against the Packers, a couple of those big runs he had, they were not that well blocked at the point of attack. He had unbelievable vision and cuts to find openings on a couple of those runs. That was the other part of it. We know the guy is a physical phenom, but you know that one where he could have taken it to the house if he veered right and he looked like he was shot out of a cannon. That play was designed to go to the right. It wasn't there at all.
Ross, that's a one yard run for most NFL running backs. Just don't go anywhere.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Wouldn't have gone far at all.
There you go.
Wasn't me. Of course, the irony to me saying it wasn't me is I think we all know in this song it actually was Shaggy, right?
Well, I was thinking that when you said it, yeah.
But I should probably use a different example when I say it's not me.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, right? Okay. Just want to make sure.
It was Rich, right? What's another name for Rich?
It was Sam. It was Frank. It was... Oh, I see what you're saying. I got you. A little play on word there. Couldn't even remember what we were talking about. All right, Ross Tucker with us as we talk a lot of Eagles football. Also a lot on the Phils. So as Reid detailed there in the sports update, it was the Phillies game that had a lot last night. First off, let's not lose sight of the fact it had a not good outing from Ranger Suarez. Was it a total disaster? No. Was it not good? Yes. It was not good.
And it was consistent with the last performance where he was just way down velocity-wise and way down just not right location-wise.
Check this out. It's September 11th today. He was great through, and we could look it up, but around early June. It's been a while.
He got hit one before London, and that was like the last greatness of him.
So it's why we ask you this Twitter poll question of the day today, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question, as of now, who do you think should be the Phillies' third starter in the postseason? Is it A, Christopher Sanchez, or B, Ranger, who obviously, you know, entering the season and a couple months ago, even as recently as a month ago, would have been the clear guy for Game 3. But does it switch now with Ranger's continued struggles? Let's also listen to the moment last night when that near Donnybrook broke out. I credit Harper for stepping in. I credit Cassidy for not fooling around. And that was not cool that pitcher drilled him. Let's listen to the moment as it happened late in the game. Phillies have now a 5-run lead. Game's pretty much over. And the pitcher on the other team got totally reckless.
On the year, Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. Dusty Wathan comes over with Brandon Marsh to move Harper away. The bullpen's clear as well.
I mean, tell you something, that guy was totally out of line because he obviously did it because he was frustrated.
He was mad about his ERA.
Correct. Castellanos knew it, and Harper knew it too. Let's listen to Bryce Harper after the game. He stepped in. I'm glad he didn't throw a punch, so there's not going to be any suspension for Bryce. There's not going to be any injury that ensues from a fight that, you know, could have happened. I mean, let's be real, came pretty close to happening. Bryce, after the game, shared his thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, he hit him on purpose. I mean, it's not the game that we play, man. It shouldn't be. I mean, guys throw too hard nowadays. You're getting mad because a guy, you know, hits a homer off here, you blow the lead. Walk the guy and come out of the game. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's just the situation, the whole thing. Just really fired me up, really upset me. Just not something that you should accept as Major League Baseball.
So you're thinking like injury there, potential injury, man.
Guys throw too hard. I mean, I don't care where it's at. You know, we're in a race right now. We're doing our thing, trying to get into the postseason, and, you know, guy wants to drill him. I mean, it's not right.
So is this going to happen more now that we get closer to the postseason?
No.
Like, I haven't noticed the uptick.
That guy was just a jerk.
Okay.
Now, where it could happen a little bit more is tonight.
Well, yeah, tonight's...
No, I don't think the Phillies will retaliate. Let me be clear. I don't.
No, they're trying to win games. Because of what Bryce just said.
Because they don't want to lose guys.
I think the Phillies are trying to win games. They don't want to get guys suspended. Yeah. They're still in a battle with the Dodgers and the Brewers. And I think you'd know that guy was likely on an island by himself, not really representing his team.
His teammates were stopping the Phillies from getting... You know, I just really sense... And they were talking calmly. to the Phillies players. I got the sense they were not happy.
I think the bigger concern is that some of these pitchers can't control the ball well.
No,
I know. I'm saying if that happens tonight, if a Rays pitcher loses control of one, that could turn into something, and it could be something that wasn't intended.
Right, when it's a genuine accident tonight.
No, that is possible.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on all this. We got Ross for about 10 more minutes here. So, Ross, the Eagles and the Falcons. I tell you, my man, I feel like we've seen the Eagles versus Kirk Cousins like 30 times, and he's won a lot of them against the Eagles. Now, it's not that many, but they play him an awful lot. I was surprised, Ross, Atlanta struggled versus Pittsburgh.
He doesn't win a lot against them, does he?
I think he's lost like the last couple of times. Well, he's played them so many times, he's both won
a lot and lost a lot. But he's lost with Minnesota.
He freaking torched the Eagles in 2018.
Yeah, he kneeled at halftime and still torched them.
And the Eagles did that ridiculous fake field goal nonsense. So,
That was a different one. Yeah, multiple. Yeah,
2018.
I was thinking of the Houston game or the Washington game where he took the knee.
All right, Ross, how good are the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I just checked, by the way, Joe. I think this is the 27th consecutive year that the Eagles' first home game is a Monday night game against Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Listen, I'm so...
Primetime games always, too.
And that bothers me, too. And can we just get a Sunday... For the love of God, can we get a Sunday game at one, please?
Next week.
But it's a short week. Cousins, you want the prime time.
Can we get it? No, you're right about that.
It's a great spot to be in.
Just a regular week.
Was the home opener the last 2 years not the Vikings on a Monday night? It's almost like when the NFL sets the schedule, they're like, okay, well, we know the Eagles' home opener is Kirk Cousins on Monday night.
It's weird. It's just weird. All right, Ross, how good are the Falcons?
Well, I said it about the Cowboys. I'll say it about the Falcons. We don't really know after 1 week, but it was discouraging if you're a Falcons fan because, first of all, they're supposed to have a top five offensive line. They have all five starters back, and that was a really good group last year. They got handled by the Steelers' D-line, which, by the way, is important for us to talk about because that was in my notes watching the Packers game. The Eagles need more from their D-line guys. They need more from their D-line, and maybe the field slippage was part of it, but I thought the linebackers were awesome. Obviously, we talked about Quinyon Mitchell. The Eagles defensively, the two notes I had down were they got to figure out what they're going to do at nickelback, and they need more from the D-line than they got in that game. And so based on how the Steelers' D-line dominated the Falcons, this is sort of a measuring stick now for the Eagles guys up front, because we know that the Falcons, that was at home for Atlanta, and TJ Watt and those guys were abusing them. You know, the other thing that's interesting, and there's a lot of videos out there that you guys can check out the next couple days, Kirk Cousins, they were like in shotgun the whole time.
Yeah.
And there are, former team trainers and doctors that think that he is still sort of favoring that Achilles a little bit that he tore last year, that he didn't look 100%, didn't look comfortable. His head coach, Raheem Morris, is calling it rust, but I guess I'm happy from an Eagles perspective that we're getting Kirk Cousins early because you would expect he'd be better later in the year, but it doesn't seem like he's 100%. Now, on the flip side, their defense looks pretty darn good. They made moves, guys, during training camp. I mean, they signed Justin Simmons, the safety. They traded for Matthew Judon, the edge. So they look pretty good on defense, but also they went up against the Steelers offense with Justin Fields at quarterback. So that's kind of the lowdown on the Falcons.
So you feel as though our D-line needs to be better this week. We know that the edge was not as productive as we would have wanted when the inside linebacker has the most sacks on our team. But what about our D-tackles, Ross? How were Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter last Friday? And did they give you, reason to be positive, reason to be hopeful moving forward, especially against the pass? Jordan Davis, we need to see better pressure.
Yeah, well, Carter's just an awesome player. And I really cannot believe that they didn't call any of those holds. I cannot believe it. I mean, he was blatantly held multiple times and they didn't call it. And I thought Jordan Davis did some positive things. Now, remember, last year, these guys did a lot of positive things early in the year, and then they kind of wore down as the season went. So I have no doubt I think that they'll be productive here early in the year. We need to keep an eye on it. You know, the other guy who had a really nice rush that forced an incompletion was this Moro Ajuma, the seventh-round pick last year. They need to give him some more snaps. Hmm. He looked good in preseason games and in training camp, and he had a great one-on-one rush where he hit Jordan Love. Jordan Love had an open guy in the end zone, and Ajuma hit him. That was encouraging. And I don't know if you guys actually know this Zach Bond story. You know, he was an on-the-ball Sam linebacker for the Saints.
Yep.
He was like, and what happened is when the other teams would motion, there were times when the other team would motion or shift that Zach Bond would have to then get off the ball and kind of be like an inside backer. Sure. There were not very many snaps of it, but Fangio told me in a production meeting before a preseason game, there was enough snaps of Zach Bond having to be off the ball after the Saints opponent motioned or shifted that he thought maybe he could do it. That is unbelievable.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's really good scouting. Crazy. Yeah. You know, Ross, I think one of the most underrated parts of sports is identifying sometimes against the grain what a guy should do and how to use them. Like, as if, for instance, when Allen Iverson was drafted and the Sixers used him for the first year as a point guard, that's a fail. I mean, he could score a million points, but he's not a point guard. And Larry Brown said, I'm going to go get a big other guard, and became Eric Snow. And Eric Snow would defend the opposing team's two guard, and AI would defend the point guard. But AI became a shooting guard and flourished. I mean, the school, North Carolina, had Lawrence Taylor playing nose tackle at the start of his career. Now, how dumb is that? You got to put someone in the right position. And if Vic Fangio saw something in Bond that no one else saw, credit to him, man.
Zach Bond is on a one-year deal as an inside linebacker, making $1 million.
Right, he's going to get paid more next year.
He's now doing things, you know, coming off the edge at times. But, you know, at his blitzing as an A-gap linebacker, I mean, that's got to be more rewarding than $1 million a year. But
the fact
that he was a Sam on the edge of the line of scrimmage, that tells you, like, what he's most comfortable at is playing a tight end, playing on a tight end on that line of scrimmage and coming off the edge, using that first step to get penetration against the pass. Like, he's more practiced at that
than
most inside linebackers.
Well, for sure.
This guy has put it all together now into a complete game.
Hey, Ross, give us two or three headlines around the league. What stood out to you week one? It may relate to the Eagles or not, but what hit you the most around the league?
Well, the 49ers still look really, really good.
Yep.
Even without Christian McCaffrey. And that's an interesting one because now they're already saying they don't think he'll play this week. He's got Achilles tendonitis. I mean, I think from an Eagles perspective, I'm quite sure they'll do what it takes.
You know, Ross, you know who called this, by the way, right? I mean, there was no question. I mean, told you from like March, McCaffrey was going to be often banged up this year. I just want to put that out there.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's come on. It's like the Jamal.
You are the only one.
It's the Jamal Anderson thing.
No, credit where due.
I mean, come on. They used him 7,000 times last year. It's injury time. All right.
So the other thing I would say is, and I don't know if this relates to the Eagles or not, you know, there's always so much hype around the rookies, you know, and maybe rightfully so, about the rookies and rookie quarterbacks and rookie receivers. None of them really did very much. I mean, none of the rookie quarterbacks played particularly well. My game was the Bills and Cardinals on CBS. Marvin Harrison Jr. had one catch for 4 yards.
Yeah.
One catch for 4 yards. So I would say that was one of the things that jumped out to me, is just the rookies not really doing all that much, or kind of what people thought. And the other thing is, guys,
it's hard.
Scoring is way, way down. So I would say it was encouraging that the Eagles put up as many points as they did, because across the board, scoring is way down. I think that, some of that has to do with how defenses are playing, and some of it has to do with young quarterbacks. And honestly, nobody plays in the preseason anymore,
yep.
So the defenses should be ahead of the offense. The offenses shouldn't be in quote-unquote midseason form when they haven't taken any snaps together.
And Ross, I'll give you one more that I'm really going to have my antenna up on this year. Have defensive coordinators figured out things about the read option and the running part of the quarterback with the read option? Because if they, I mean, we certainly saw Jalen struggle with it the other day. If they have, there's going to be about half the teams in football in deep trouble because they've drafted and developed quarterbacks that do that. And let's see where that one goes.
Well, they have pretty good answers for it, for sure, but it's still a tough one. You know, if you're doing that in combination with RPOs,
yep.
where you have a pass off of it, it's still there's still a you're really putting at least one defender in a bind.
In a bind, yeah.
One other
right.
thing that's noteworthy is the Giants and Commanders both still look like they're not very good at all.
Dog I mean, meat.
You know, there was a chance for both of them. You could have made an argument that they'll be better and maybe they'll be competitive and maybe they could get in the mix with the Eagles and Cowboys. But at least based on Week One, those teams look like they're what they've been for a long time.
They are I do think who we Jaden, thought they were.
I do think Jaden Daniels shows promise, though.
Maybe, but he's not going to be able to do it this year enough.
He also looks really thin out there. Like, every time he took a hit, I was like, oh, man.
Helmet kept
he's
coming off.
Yeah, he looks slight out there.
I'll give Lamar credit, though, man. He's hung in there a long time, and he's very slight also.
Yeah, but he like I think Daniels looks even slighter than Lamar.
Hey, Ross, great work, buddy. Again, everyone follow Ross at Ross Tucker NFL. Of course, the Ross Report online as well. Ross, nice work, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
You Thanks, got it. Ross. All right, coming up in 1 minute. Back to the phone calls. Lots of calls. We're coming to you coming up in 1 minute.
Do you have fitness and wellness goals? Maybe you want to create healthier habits or just participate in an activity you love. If you do, well, NovaCare Rehabilitation's physical therapists understand, and they're here to make sure you meet your goals. For more than 30 years, NovaCare has been the Delaware Valley's hometown leader in physical therapy, hand therapy, and sports medicine. They are proud to be part of the healing journey of so many patients, from healing aches and pains to gaining strength and flexibility and preventing injury. NovaCare's clinical experts will partner with you to reach your goals. They've got more than 150 convenient locations in Greater Philadelphia and South Jersey. They'll get you back to work, sports, life, and they will help you stay healthy all year long. To learn more about the benefits of physical therapy and stay on track of your healthy habits and wellness, schedule an appointment today at NovaCare.com. The Philadelphia Phillies and Eagles trust NovaCare. So can you. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on everything we're talking about, obviously almost exclusively on the Eagles and Phils. You know, it's amazing. The Sixers and Flyers go to camp soon. So that process will begin very soon, and their seasons aren't that far away, which will mean Paul George, John. I mean,
true.
Know, I mean, that's coming pretty soon here.
I'm excited to see the dynamic, whatever the leadership dynamic that develops with this
I
team.
Know.
What the heck is it going to look
who
like?
Who shoots the last? Devin, who should shoot the last shot? Joel, Tyrese, or Paul George?
Well, we haven't seen Paul George and how he works within that system yet. I will always say Joel Embiid, though.
Yeah.
I will always say Joel Embiid.
I tend to go Maxi.
Well, Seltzer, it depends what kind of shot it is.
Well,
if
I'm
it's
saying
a three,
there's
not,
whoever's
not
I mean,
open.
I mean, there's 10. No, but yeah. I mean, there's 10 seconds left, and you're developing a play to try to win the game. You're down by a point, 10 seconds. So you give him the ball to.
I want Embiid to be posted up, and I want him to have the ball because that's the most sure shot.
Seltzer, who are you giving it to?
I think Max should have the ball in his hands, but it's about, I think he should have options, either take it himself or PG or Embiid and play the defense.
You're
play
saying Maxi creates.
Maxi ball
decides.
In his hands and Maxi decides.
Rhea,
yes.
Who gets it?
Joel is going to be posted up to end the game. He'll line up out at the 3-point and try
No, but he should be.
I know.
Exactly.
He should be, but he never
but
will.
But I'll say,
no,
and,
he
here's one
will
of, and here's one of my arguments against Joel. If he doesn't get position down low fast enough, he can screw up the whole play.
You can have the ball stripped.
And that's a big part of
yeah,
the problem.
Yeah, and then the clock just starts running down.
Especially if you don't have a lot of time, if it's like
there.
7 seconds or
well,
six.
Well, seven, that's hard.
Hard,
yeah,
10 seconds, whatever,
hard.
Where it's
yeah.
close.
All right, anyway, Sixers and Flyers soon. Let's go to Jack.
Whole Sixers team, too, by the way. We just mentioned PG, but it's really the whole roster.
What is?
The whole roster is new. Like,
I know,
a ton of
I
new
actually
Sixers.
Saw they posted Caleb Martin on their social media yesterday, and I was like, oh, I forgot that he's a Sixer now.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many new new faces. It's
I am glad they kept Kelly Oubre.
Me too.
I mean, I thought he was
and
pretty...
And they got the French guy from the French
league. Yeah, we'll he was awesome
he
in the Olympics.
He really was.
I agree. We'll see. James, I totally agree. He was awesome.
Let me just say this about a lot of the foreign guys that play in the Olympics. A lot of them score 20 points, and when they come to the NBA, they do nothing.
Nothing. We'll see. I agree. But right.
Noel
you know,
had like good one in the Olympics. Great game.
Caleb Martin is a good point, though. Caleb Martin is a good role player.
Really good
player. That's a power
He's
role
solid.
Player.
He's
man.
Solid. All right. Jack in North Jersey. What's going on, Jack?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great, Jack.
Just wanted to talk about the third starter in the playoffs. So I think it's pretty simple, right? You go with the pitcher that's pitching the best going into the playoffs, right? And I think right now that's obviously Christopher Sanchez. In
Correct.
A five-game series, I think right now it's obvious that you would start Sanchez and then have Ranger come in relief for that third game, whereas a seven-game series, you know, it doesn't really matter. You have one go game three, one
right.
go game four.
Well, I'm just telling you, Jack, I would still have it be Ranger. Now, I'm not telling you I'm set in stone because, you know, I want to see these next 2.5 weeks, but I saw enough from Ranger in the postseason the last couple of years. I don't want to run from that. Listen, I know it might be foolish of me. I'm just telling you my inclination right now is still Ranger.
He just can't do
right,
it. He's physically not where he can
do
it
that he
properly
can. I don't
right
know.
Now.
I don't know that to be true.
It's like 4 miles per hour. He's off. There's something awry.
Yeah, maybe he's pulling a Chris Pronger. He's conserving his energy.
Is that what you think?
No, I don't. By the way, Chris Pronger had the greatest ability to play in a playoff game, like 28 minutes a game, go as hard as hell when he needed to. Do you remember this, Rhea? But he would just hang back at times and conserve energy, which is how he was able to play 28
he's
minutes.
A big dude.
He was
I mean,
a
LeBron
great.
Does that.
LeBron does do that.
Yeah.
Pronger was a great player. All right, Jack, go ahead, man.
And then I just wanted to get to Jalen real quick. Yeah. So I was actually more encouraged and discouraged in that game just because, like, I thought he made a lot of good throws, especially on that final drive. His turnovers really came from, like, back against the wall, just making stupid decisions, right? Like, they had the third and long in the beginning where he threw the interception, and then again it was third and long at the end in the end zone where he threw the interception. So I think in those situations with, like, third and 11, 15, like, maybe just take a check down and take a few yards out of that. And then I think a lot, what's kind of going unnoticed, too, on that second interception is that A.J. Brown completely slipped in the end zone. Like, he was wide open and slipped on that awful grass that they had down in Brazil.
Yeah, but the ball would have been picked. I mean, he threw it into a hole he couldn't get it into, regardless. A.J. Brown did slip, but I think that ball is picked off regardless.
All right, Jack, give me someone famous who did something ridiculous.
Antonio Brown running off the field.
Yeah, right, that's a potential answer.
Wow.
I forgot
about
that.
Yeah. Now the sad part of that is it's hard to imagine it's
and everything.
It's hard to imagine it's not CTE related, right?
He's got issues. Yeah,
I mean, it's just because people said he was a good dude.
Have you seen his Twitter account?
No,
it's not great.
It makes the whole situation me very sad.
Yeah, it is. It's
listen,
sad.
Maybe he's just a bad guy and it's not CTE, but knowing some of the hits he took, John, the Vontaze Burfict one in particular, I mean, people said he was just never the same as a person after that. So.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's what's so compelling about this. That specific moment has been, like, isolated and talked
about.
There's
no question.
Because it was so hellacious. And people noticed that there was a marked difference in the way he was, like, acting.
I know.
That's really concerning.
It's really sad.
That you could, yeah, man.
It really is. All right, let's get to
Chris
in Ocean City. Chris, by the way, let me just say this. Good job, DeMar Hamlin. It's been 2 years now. I mean, he made that play at the end of the game that basically ended the game. I mean, he was involved in it, I should say. Or I think that was near the end of the game, right? I'm getting these moments confused.
I didn't think he'd ever play again.
He's doing all right.
He's
out there and playing. And
yeah, he's playing.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty incredible. All right, Chris in Ocean City. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning, team. So I understand that you want to interview members of Jalen Hurts' defense team, and so I figured I would call in and have the conversation. So, Joe, to your question earlier about how much grace are we going to give him. So it's kind of something that I'd like to parse. And so for me personally, he cannot make the egregious level mistakes that he made last game any further this season.
Wow.
And so
good, Mom, you're taking a hard line there.
Yeah. And so,
And I disagree. And I disagree with you. I think he can, but just don't have it happen that often. I mean, I expect those things to happen in a season, but I just don't want to see a flurry of them and for that to continue. And that's what concerned me the other day.
So for me, it's not he can still throw picks and fumble. It just can't be as egregious and as poor in the decision making. In my opinion,
well, of course.
And so for me, a lot of the conversation has been that this is a continued pattern from last year, and I disagree, and I've been trying to think of a way to frame it. So for me, his mistakes and interceptions last year, in my opinion, were the result of frustration and pushing because nobody was open on the offense. It was very stagnant and stale. Whereas the interceptions mm-hmm. this season, to me, feel like a result of lack of continuity and preseason play and also overconfidence from a lot of the 7-on-7s. And so it, the way that I think about it, it's like, have you ever messed up so badly in your life, like whether it be at work or in an interpersonal relationship, that you're walking on eggshells for the next month and like minding your P's and Q's? That's kind of what I expect from Jalen moving forward. And I think the reason why I reacted so strongly to the criticism is that it seemed like we weren't giving him credit for the things that he did accomplish.
Well, I certainly did. Just for what it's worth, Chris, I think anyone that's heard the show, I would hope have recognized, I've praised him many times this week for the many wonderful things he did in the game. I mean, that was was so bizarre about it. He did so much so good, and he did quite a bit so bad. I mean, there was not a ton in the middle, frankly.
Yeah, totally. And I really appreciated your call into Go Birds Radio on Saturday, and it was shocking. It was like John's reaction was way more concerned than you were, which is just fascinating. But John, that can't continue, and the menopause stuff needs to stop. I'm moving to California, so I won't be able to call you as much. So I need you to stay strong because Joe's not going to be able to sustain this.
Chris, listen to the Odyssey app in California. Dial us up. You're a good caller. Who did something ridiculous?
Oh, sure. I'll say when Kanye Swift interrupted Taylor Swift.
Kanye Swift.
Oh, wow.
I think that was a mistake there. But yeah, Kanye, that was not a good moment.
Answer.
Let's go to Ken in Cinnaminson. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Great, Ken.
Joe, please tell me your buddy Rich is not like the produce manager at a Whole Foods in Connecticut.
No,
somewhere.
No. I mean, I don't think so, but I'm not in touch with him. I'm in touch with a friend who is in touch with that dude. So all I know is that guy's still alive. He was a good guy, but he did weird things with cantaloupes.
Well, you probably not a kid.
Multiple cantaloupes.
Well, I know one. Maybe there was more than one. I know of one time.
Yeah. I want to get to Jalen, obviously, but on the third starter thing, just briefly, look, what happened in the past has no bearing on what's going to happen in the future. If Christopher Sanchez is pitching better than Ranger Suarez when the postseason starts, Christopher Sanchez has to be the third starter. Let's drag Jim Palmer out of retirement.
Well, I would hope so, but the problem is, Ken, it seems like Topper doesn't always adhere to that sort of thinking.
Clearly.
Well, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because you guys know what I think about that and what the biggest risk for the outcome of the season is, and it's the same thing every year. So, listen, on the Jalen thing, you go back and replay tapes of this show, all these shows from 2019, 2020, and these are the exact same conversations that people were calling up having about Carson Wentz because they didn't want to believe what their eyes were seeing.
I agree.
And so now it's, now we're supposed to give him pats on the back for when he does what the quarterback is expected to do, and we're supposed to give him a pass when he does what a fifth-year starter can't do.
And Ken, let me say this, because I think there's an element of this that's going to confuse people even more than the Carson thing. And I'm not saying he's all the way down the road of Carson, because he's not, but there are signs that are concerning. So one of the realities of Carson that's different than this one is people would call in then, and talk show hosts then would say, Carson has no one to throw the ball to, which was, sort of true. I mean, he didn't have a good receiving group, okay? You know, this is an all-timer with this offense this year. And so the Eagles are going to score points whether Jalen is great, good, or average, or slightly below average, just because A.J. and Devontae and Miles Sanders Saquon are going to score points. I hope people can read through the trees to determine how good actually is Jalen, independent of what he has around him. Because I can guarantee you that's how the Eagles will evaluate him.
it's not a black or white thing, right? So you can be critical of Jalen Hurts for the things that he does, and also recognize, yeah, he made some really nice throws the other
night. Sure did.
But this is the body of work we've had from Jalen for the last 20 games of his career now. So I'm almost starting to feel like this is what it must have been like to be a Packers fan when Brett Favre was the quarterback, and he would do things that were just incredibly.
Yeah, but Favre was so much. But Favre was so much better, man. It was so.
Well,
much
he was
better.
Also as dumb as a box of rocks, and I don't think Jalen Hurts is as dumb as a box of rocks. So with.
I don't know that Favre was dumb. I don't know about that.
Well, I think Favre's dumb.
Favre made so many
pretty
mistakes.
Dumb.
Every time you played Brett Favre all week long, the refrain was, he's going to give you two.
Oh,
he's going to give you two. Just be ready and catch it when he gives you two.
I still don't think Favre was dumb. I think he was reckless out there at times, but he also had as good an arm as anyone's ever had. And, you know, he leaned into that sometimes too much.
I follow him on Twitter.
I think his off-field.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the last 15 years off the field. I'm talking about who he was in 1998.
He was a dumb decision maker. He just, to your point, he had one of the great arms you've ever seen. Like, if Jalen had Favre's arm, that second interception wouldn't have happened.
Well,
he would have been able to squeeze it in there. He has to know his arm. That's the issue.
I agree with that.
I think Favre was dumb, but he had such a great arm, he was able to get past a lot.
All right, Ken, give me someone famous that did something ridiculous.
Just to say, a bright guy doesn't text certain pics to a reporter.
Well, I mean, obviously.
That's a good point.
But, I mean, Bill Clinton is about as smart a president intellectually as there's ever been, and the guy did something in the Oval Office that almost submarined his presidency. I mean, smart people do dumb things. I mean, it's a fact.
You just stole someone's answer on hold.
Stupid is it.
Could have been a winner.
I mean, you know. All right, Ken, give me something ridiculous.
Will Smith, Oscars.
Great answer.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a good answer. Good answer. Speaking of answers, the answers Ray Diddy gave us this week about Jalen after week one, what Ray said, that's coming up in 1 minute.
Hey, Philly, if it's been a minute since you've considered a Nissan, now's the time to check out my friends at the Busch Auto Group. With six new Nissan models under $30,000 in two locations in Limerick and Exton, quality and affordability are right around the corner. This month, save up to $10,000 on select Nissan models. Visit them in-store at Exton Nissan and Nissan 422 of Limerick or online at BushAutoGroup.com. That's B-U-S-H AutoGroup.com. When I bought a vehicle there, my experience was the greatest. Philly rides with us.
All right, obviously this week, you know, every guest we talk to, we're asking a question or two or three or four about Jalen Hurts. And that'll be the case all season long. So we talked to Ray earlier this week, and we asked him about Hurts. All right, Ray, what did you make of Jalen Hurts' performance?
Uneven. I thought that there were times, some things he did, I thought he did really well. The interceptions were really troubling. The first one, the down the middle into all the coverage, was just a terrible decision. And then the other one, you know, in the end zone, you know, running to his right, throwing across his body, hanging the ball up there, making it an easy pick at that point in the game. Can't do that. You know, you just can't do that.
All right, so that's Ray on, you know, those plays in particular. Let's broaden this out a little bit more as Ray continued on talking about Jalen and obviously at this stage of his career.
I'm one of the people that felt like he was going to come back and have a big year, and I still do. I really do. But one of the things, and people talked about, is he going to run more? Is a deep pass going to come back? All that kind of stuff. To me, the thing above all else was decision-making. You know, his decision-making went from being so good 2 years ago to being highly suspect last year. And I was hoping that with this summer and, you know, with Kellen Moore coming in, and what we had heard was a really good, healthy working relationship between the OC and the quarterback. Again, we had a couple of examples of really poor decision-making, and that's the kind of stuff he's got to get out of his game.
Well, look, everyone can weigh in on where you stand on Hurts. I mean, I'll say this on where I'm at. I am currently 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I'm not all in. I'm not all out. I'm in a wait-and-see mode to see what he puts out there this year, potentially next year, and figure it out from there. I think the Eagles are probably also 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And again, I'm going to drill down on this now and all season. I beg you, don't let the great talent around them and the points this team will score obscure the reality if Hurts doesn't do all that he should do to put even more points on the board. That's all I'm going to say. because it should be easier for him with the talent around him.
I can't wait to bar you from being in the Jalen fan club.
I can't wait to just put
that drawbridge down and like build a I'll dig a moat around the Jalen fan club because you're not allowed.
But I will say this
is going to happen soon. I mean,
well,
like,
we'll say.
Once he gets a preseason under him, I do feel very confident.
We'll say.
Things will roll.
But I will say this. Here I am. I lay myself bare.
And have for a number of years. And by laying myself bare 5 years ago, what did I say?
Carson stinks.
What else did I say?
Carson Wentz is horrible.
Now, I'm not saying that about Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is my eyes saw it with Jalen, with Carson before your eyes did, John. And my eyes are telling me. My eyes.
So now we're getting comparative.
We are getting comparative
with our football acumen.
I do. And he's bringing them back.
Well, great. I'll just say, as far as quarterback evaluation goes, Hammer one, Richie, and frankly, most listeners, zero.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, take a shot at the listeners because
I don't believe.
Man of many talents. President,
you should be
lawyer,
in that front
Pope.
Office.
Quarterback, evaluator.
Pope.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that that's come up before,
that's
too.
That's blasphemous.
Yeah. That is blasphemous, yeah.
You are going to hell.
I would absolve myself of all prior and future sins. 215-592.
You can absolve yourself.
Of which
yeah.
there have been many.
Yes. You can pardon yourself and become president.
I'd go
you
to
you're
confession.
You can do whatever you want.
I'd be on both sides of the confessional.
Yeah, can you take your own? Seriously, that is great. The confessional thing, if you're Pope.
Yeah, pardon myself.
Yeah, you could just confess to yourself.
Pardon and absolve. I like it all. All right, Jody, I'm just joking around.
That's a good idea.
Oh, you're just joking about being Pope and president?
I'm
happy. That's good enough.
Seltzer.
But he's not.
Right. We found out he's not joking right. about being president.
About president.
Yeah. Pope
is a joke.
Let's see who can name this one. One person in U.S. history was president and Supreme Court justice.
Oh, I know this. Was it like John Quincy Adams?
No idea. No,
yeah,
I have
John
a life.
Adams.
You guys stink.
I've heard this before and I can't remember.
Mire in your own mire, whatever it is.
Mire in your own mire?
Look it up. Been better.
No, I think it's Taft.
I think it's Taft.
You don't even know.
I got a little confused. I'm like 96% of Taft.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.